motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, here this morning. We are out of the box. Lord, we know you are out of the box. I really believe this congregation is forever changed, certainly for this summer. We welcome, Holy Spirit, a summer of passion for Christ and a summer of dedication to godly things. And Lord, if it's summer camp meeting, then so be it. Let it be summer camp meeting all summer. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's raise our Bibles and say this together. These are our Bibles. God cannot lie. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says we are worth more than what we go through. We'll not be talked out of our true value and identity. We were created in love, by love, and for love. And we're going to quit looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. Somebody should write a song. I'm telling you guys, this is a movement. This is a movement, unlike anything I've really experienced in our 17 years here at Grace Church. I just don't feel like this is a series. I feel like that this is a move of God's Spirit that's been initiated by His Word. By His Word. And thank God for good soil and receptivity to whatsoever the Lord is saying. Amen. We're not the frozen chosen. We shall not be moved. If God says, hey, let's cut off some of what you've been feeding on. Let's dedicate this summer to feeding on Christ. Growing spiritually, maturing in Him, then we say yes and amen. We're going to continue our series this morning, Christ is Life. In John chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Everybody say life to the world, please. Okay, that word life there is the Zoe life of God. It's the life that God possesses, the God kind of life. It's literally divine life. So Jesus is coming to give this life to the world. It does not say that, hey, I'm coming to give some doctrine and a philosophy to everybody. No, I'm coming to give you life. Verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, well, I am it. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. He who eats, this is verse 56, I'm sorry. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I live in him. Clearly we're to be feeding on the Zoe life of Christ. I mean, he's saying very clearly here, you need to be feeding on me. You need to be participating and sourced and sustained by my divine life. Now, since last Sunday, how many of you have had an opportunity to get cut and bleed something other than Christ? Amen. 8 or 10 of you. Guess what? By 1:20 in the afternoon, I had my opportunity. And it's so funny. Annie Lahan had asked me, so she came up to the office sometime this week, Pastor, how long did it take you before that word was tested? On Sunday, I said till 1 o'clock. I was over at my mom's house. We were going to have dinner after service, send away for my nephew who's going, he enlisted in the Naval Academy. So Stacy's at home. She hadn't come over yet. And I think it's about 1:20. Is that about right? It's about 1:20. Now we're supposed to eat at 1. And I had to leave for Duncan at 3 to go minister in Duncan. So I'm feeling the pressure of, okay, I need to get this done. I gotta head out. And boy, here comes the flesh. Now I hadn't had anything to eat all day except this breakfast drink Stacy had maybe, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's 1:20. Everybody say 1:20. And the flesh is crying out. So I call Stacy. I don't remember what I was lamenting, but I was saying something about, yeah, we're supposed to eat at one. We're not even eating yet. And she called to my attention very lovingly. Let me remind you what you just shared on earlier today. And, you know, I thanked her for it. I said, you are so right. I hung up the phone. I got up from my self-pity party on the couch there. I was having a party and only I was invited. And I got up. I went to be a blessing. I went to be a blessing. How can I help? You know, isn't that awesome? So, the enemy, he loves to challenge a word, but I'm telling you, when we get cut, we want to bleed Christ. If we're honest, as Christians, we often slip into feeding on circumstances and people and situations for happiness, right? Everybody, please treat me right in every situation. The stock market, please go right so I can have joy today. That was never God's intent. God wants us feeding on Him for life and for happiness and for joy. And religion has duped us into using God as our servant. Or if you don't like servant, how about genie in a bottle? Religion has taught us to use God as our servant, and we control Him through formulas and principles and our behavior. We control Him through our own methods. And what we do is we use God to control everything in the natural so we can be happy. So we can be fulfilled and have joy every day. And that is not God's plan. That is not the Christian life. The Lord articulated very well last week. He didn't make us all Christians so we'd feel good and be at the center of all things all the time. He made us Christians so we could express the very life of His Spirit no matter what we go through. God wants us expressing life no matter what we face, no matter what we go through. And to boldly proclaim, even as Jesus did. Are you ready for this? I have food which you know not of. We had another prophetic word given this morning about, you know, when we go to work, people don't need to see, yeah, I'm glad you brought your Bible to work, but are you bleeding life to them? Are you expressing the life and love of Christ? More than they need to see a spiritual discipline, they need to see life. They need to see the very life and love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then they're going to ask you. It's so interesting. They're going to ask you, why are you the way you are? Why are you so happy? Where's the joy come from? What? And then we can give a record of who we know. And we can say, you know, well, I have food that you know not of. I don't look to everything in the office to make me happy or in the business. I'm looking to Christ. I feed on Him. And that's what God is saying to us. You realize that Jesus didn't just die for you because you sinned. He didn't just die for you because you dug yourself a pit and you need to be dug out of it. He died for you so that He could put His life inside you. That's what we were talking about a little bit earlier. John 20, verse 22, after the cross, He breathes His life into the disciples. And then Acts chapter 2, we see fullness come. The fullness of their lives given over to His life and His Spirit, which totally changed their world. And they cut Christ, and He bled life and love. And guess what, guys? We're not without resource any more than Christ. We have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same resource that we can feed on and we can exemplify when things go south. We're not void of resource. So Christianity has disciplines, but it's not a discipline, and it has principles, but it's not a principle. Christianity is Christ, is a living person who can be seen in the church and that the world desperately needs to see. The world desperately needs to see His life. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. Everybody say the testimony. He didn't say this is a testimony. This is all right. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. We can have a bunch of spiritual disciplines. We can go to church every week and not have life, That has nothing to do with it. You got to have the Son. It doesn't say he who goes to church has life. He who has the Son has life. And it doesn't say he who goes to heaven has life when he goes to heaven. If you have the Son, you have life now. If it's eternal, it's available to you right now. And can show through in your attitudes. And your character and your nature. So much more. So much more. They need to see the character of Christ than they do just spiritual disciplines. John 10:10, Jesus said, this is why I've come, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life you're looking for. He didn't say that he's to be part of your life and part of what you're doing. Could you imagine a version of Christianity where we're at the center and we have all these folks on the wagon wheel and Jesus is one of them? That'd be one impotent Christianity. And I'll tell you this, a very incomplete Christianity has rode out into the West and left a very incomplete result. Christ wants to be our life. So he becomes the center of the wheel. And now everything else, family, work, all that flows out of him. But he's at the center. Too many Christians today think our walk with God is a weekend experience. A once a year experience. How about this? A trip to heaven. Everything that you love about Sunday mornings where we worship together, we pray for each other, we listen to the word being taught, you realize you can do that outside of Sunday. Amen? We can feed on him outside of Sunday. He's that good. He doesn't just show up Sunday at 9:11. So Jesus, Christianity is not a weekend experience. All this does is this serves to further the life of Christ being expressed in and through you. But the Lord is saying, somebody's got to tell my people that Christianity is not all about them being first. And everybody treating them right. And every situation going just the right way so they can shout unto God. We need to be able to shout even when everything's hit the fan. We need to bleed him. When the church focuses on the life of Christ instead of self-preservation... I'm going to say that again. When Grace Church dives deep now into the life of Christ, because that's what's happening. This is not a series. This is a move of God's Spirit in this church. Something that we are on board with. So when the church focuses on the life of Christ instead of self-preservation and self-promotion, it has the capacity to transform cities. Yeah, I said it. Cities. Think about it. A group of people who would not love their own lives even unto death. We saw it in the book of Acts. They didn't really care what happened to them. Their life was not theirs to save. They were already saved. Amen? I'm Peter and John in Acts chapter 5. They took them to the center of the town and flogged them publicly. Beat them, humiliate them, said, stop preaching Jesus. And the Bible says they went away rejoicing, having been counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus. I'll take some of that. They went away rejoicing, having been publicly humiliated for their faith. And there's, God, thank you that you would count us worthy to suffer shame for you. So be it, Lord. Amen, somebody. Lord, so be it, Lord. I pray right now, sweep across the body of Christ in this region and start with us, Lord. Start with us that we're going to feed on you and what is true life. This is our literal Independence Day from the things of the world, a summer of dedication unto you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So the church can transform cities by focusing on the life of Christ. When it focuses on things less than the life of Christ, it stumbles in the dark. If the church will major on the core values of the kingdom of God, if we'll major on the person of Jesus Christ, if we'll major on the power of the Holy Spirit, if we'll major on the necessity of conversion. Amen? The necessity of conversion. You must be born again. We can't have more church members in town than we have Christians.
Amen.
There it is. The necessity of conversion. If the church will major and focus on the fellowship of the saints, how about equipping the saints? How about major on service to all, not service to a select few? If we'll major on these things, we'll transform cities. But if the church of our age continues to marry the spirit of our age, the next generation will continue to feed on self-preservation. That's what they get from the world. Looking to people and things to make them happy. I think Father wants to move us away from the whole idea of, hey, what can I get from God? Man, what do you not have? Do you see how we've been duped? I mean, if we're living over here, what can I get versus, man, I've already got it. The big difference there. You remember when he said, if you guys will quit living like you're earning something and live like you've already got something, you'll change the world. He said it, not me. He said it prophetically on a Sunday morning. So God is shifting us away from, hey, what can we get from God? And into, hey, how can I be more like God? How can God be seen in me? Man, this is a perfect opportunity. This guy's, he's gossiping about me at work. What a perfect opportunity to let God's light so shine. How can we be used of God? How can we bless Him instead of, man, what can I get from Him today? Genie in a bottle. Imagine coming to church instead of what we can get from God today. We come to be an expression of the life of God. And if we blow the doors open because there's so much light and power exuding from the Spirit of God, then so be it. Amen. Amen. You know that a city set on a hill is just a conglomeration of lit houses. Amen. And every one of you is a house. And so when all the lit houses gather together, we need to see some light. Yes. City set on a hill. We have Him. What do we not have? What are we working for? We should be working from Him. We were sold a bill of goods that everybody and everything that happens on the planet is for us. It's all about us. And so everything that happens here and everybody's behavior is for me. Could you imagine if I walked around this place believing that you're all here for me? Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Gretchen, Pastor Gavin, Pastor Kyle, every one of us walk around here, you're here for me. No, we're here for you. We're here to be given to you, to heighten you, to strengthen you, to equip you, to empower you. To extend the kingdom of God in this area. To increase your capacity to receive of God. We're here to give and be given. We're here to add to you. That's the body of Christ. We're here to add. Imagine if God raised up Grace Church to add to Choctaw. Well, if he's put us here to add to the surrounding region, then we got to be very careful that we don't become inverted. And everything's about us and... You see what I'm saying? We're here to be given. One of the parables, when he's talking about the sons of the kingdom get sown into the earth. Guess who that is? That's us. He's sowing us. And religion, you got to be careful because it'll say, no, it's all about you. God works for you to make sure you feel good. That's why you got saved, remember? So you'd be happy. If you want to be happy, just rent a jet ski or something. This is the kingdom of God. We're going to suffer opposition, but guess what we got? We got Him. We got His Word. We got His power. We got the Holy Ghost. We got each other. We got a community of believers. Look at Ephesians 3:16, Amplified Bible. May God grant you out of the riches of His glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through His Spirit. Where? In your inner self. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints the width, length, height, depth of his love, fully experiencing his amazing endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses human knowledge. Why? That you may be filled up throughout your whole being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. A body literally wholly filled with God himself. This is Christ's life. This is Christ's life right here. This is the only Christianity that will survive where America's going. There's probably a reason he's saying, okay, it's time to cut off feeding on all that and feed on me. This is the Christianity that will survive where America's going, completely filled and flooded with God himself, Christ's life. And notice how he says, rooted and grounded in what? The world? Circumstances? The stock market? Your football team won? Rooted and grounded in love. The love and the life of Christ. And we get rooted and grounded in a whole lot of other things. And that's what he's saying. Out of love, he's simply saying, can we please cut off what you've been feeding on? And will you please feed on me for your happiness? Amen. And listen, you can cheer your team on, but that team, whether they win or lose, is worth about 50 cents. And how God feels about you and what he says about you as his son or daughter, that's worth about $500. And we flip that. We let the enemy trick us. And we'll say, oh my goodness, Dallas lost. And we think that's $500. And well, God loves me and that's 50 cents. You're confused. Amen. Rooted and grounded in him. Rooted and grounded in him. If we're rooted and grounded in him every day, we're not going to crumble at the first instant somebody says something bad about us. But when we're rooted and grounded out here with our ear to the world, then we're easily subdued. I love that song, Breathe. I heard it this morning. Remember when he says, you are the air I breathe. You are my daily bread. And then the chorus says, I'm desperate for you. Amen. That's a theme, man. He needs to be our daily bread. He needs to be the air we're breathing in, as it was in the garden. I'll show you that in just a second. But we get ruled by so many things that aren't a reflection of who we are, because we're not abiding in his life. We're not feeding on him on a regular basis. So, man, somebody dings my car, then we have the fall aparts, because all our joy is wrapped up in that car. Somebody gossiped about me. None of that affects who you are. And yet here we are being ruled by so many things that have no bearing on your actual value. And we get talked out of the truth. We'll talk ourselves out of the truth. We don't even need the devil. We'll talk ourselves out of the truth. We get so feeble because we're so connected to the world as life. The world is not life. It is a fake food. It may taste like food sometimes. It may seem like food sometimes, but it's no nutrition. There's no life in it. What happens is we're so much quicker then, because of things that happen, we're a whole lot quicker to cry because of what those people do to us than for those people who did something to us. We ought to be crying for them. They don't know who you are, and they don't even know who they are. And we'll cry because of them. We ought to be crying for them. Yeah. On our knees crying for them. Yeah. Woo! My goodness. Will you take your right hand for me? Just place it on your head. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that there is a shift underway in our thinking. And Lord, we don't want to be ruled or mastered by the circumstances of the world. There's no food or the life of the world, Lord, for us. So I thank you for washing our minds this morning, renewing our minds right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm not going to cry because of those people. I'm going to cry for them. May your spirit and your life birth intercession in me for those who most seem to thwart me. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands this morning. Amen. Clap your hands for him. Clap your hands for him. I tell you, this is a move of God's Spirit. This is a river. Just get in it. I'm on the train. Amen. Don't wave at me when I go by. Jump on. So how does it happen? How do we get so conditioned to being sourced outside of God and his life? Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Do you see it? The breath of life. And man became a living being. Okay. So the first thing you did, mankind, was receive not from the air of the world. The first thing you received was the breath of God's life. So there is your original intent. There's the pattern. Man is going to be sourced by the life of God, not by the things of the world. Now, God can give us stuff that are enjoyable in the world, but their value is not his value. Like Bruce teaches us so well, Brother Bruce Bartow, we've got this big cup need, and then we're always in the world taking these little cups. Oh, you, would you love me? Okay, thanks. Would you treat me well? Okay, thanks. And we got these tiny cups, and you got this huge need that only God can fill. So the first thing we derived is the life of God, nothing from the world. And Adam and Eve depended on God's life for happiness. They depended on God's life for love and acceptance and validation. I promise you, God did not make Adam and Eve and say, I know I'm here, I know I made you for me, but here's a bunch of other stuff that you can love instead of me. Here's a bunch of other stuff I'll give you that'll fulfill you instead of me. We see from the time he breathed life into us that we're made for him and his life. So those things in the natural realm. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Your spouse can give you joy. God's not trying to take that away from you. Your spouse can give you joy, absolutely. But please remember, when you figure out they're not perfect at giving you joy all times, every day, that's a dollar value and God's your $5 value. That God is the chief one I'm looking to for life. Could you imagine in a marriage, please give me life, please love me, right? Two ticks and no dog. Please. Please feed me. You're setting the whole thing up for failure. Only God can satisfy you. They're not perfect. They're perfect. We'd have nailed them up there. A half a man will always attract a half a woman. And you see it all the time, man. It's like, oh, you're so amazing. You complete me. You're everything to me. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah. Well, give it a few days. Come on. Yeah. Wait till supper time, he said. Wait till dinner time. So, you know, half a man attracts half a woman, and we're trying to fill the other one. We got all these little cups. Hurry, honey. I'm going as fast as I can trying to make you happy. And they burn out. I appreciate that you need me to love you. I appreciate that. But I cannot be. You weren't made by me and for me. You're made by God and for God. So he's going to have to be your big bucket need. Go ahead, clap your hands for big bucket meat. That is the truth. Oh my goodness. So true. Do you realize Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, he said that we must love him more than our own father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, even our own life. The word life there is psuche. That's the soul of a man. You love me more than all those things, or you can't be my disciple. He's not telling us that loving him is the same as hating your spouse. Clearly that contradicts about 17 passages. It's just about proper value assignment. He's saying if you don't let me be your love and your life more than all these others, you're going to find dysfunction and despair. That's what he's saying. And we have found it. Can I get a witness? In the body of Christ, we have found it. And we were taught, we were sold that whole bill of goods, man. You come to God and he'll make everybody else behave so you can be happy. All right, Genesis 2:17. God told him, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from it, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely... What's the opposite of life? Death. Okay. This word right here literally means he's talking about spiritual death. They didn't die physically or soulically. They still had emotions and a choosing mechanism after the fall. They died spiritually. The definition, are you ready for this, of spiritual death literally means severance, to be severed or cut off from the life of God. That is what happened to us. We were cut off from the one thing we were made that would fulfill us and satisfy us. So when the world offers us all these things to try to be happy, all the products on TV, all the advertising, stock market, money, things, possessions, football teams, basketball teams, anything to make you happy, I don't think it's vindictive. I think it's natural. Because they have been cut off from the life of God, so they're looking for life. Every human being on this planet is looking for life. And what God is saying to us is, would you please be a reflection of those who found it? And it is me. It is me. If your football team wins, great. But life is me. If your spouse buttered you up tonight and really blessed you, great. But I, at the end of the day, am your life. So the world is not vindictive. That's what I mean. I mean, we had love. We had life and we fell from love. We got severed from it and so we started looking for love. So instead of becoming love and being love in the earth, we started looking for love. And we told everybody else, would you please love me? Would you fulfill me? Would you please dump your cups in me? Please. You see, it's not a vindictive thing. It just happened. Romans 5:12 says, through one man, sin entered the world and death spread to everyone. Death, spiritual separation, separation from God's life spread to everybody. So we start defaulting to find life in other sources, things that would make us happy. Man, haven't we tried so many things to make us happy? And God's saying, it's him. Let's look at Ephesians 4. I want to show you this. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They've been cut off from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. They're giving themselves over to all these other loves to work uncleanness with greediness. So like I said, here we are connected to love, we're connected to joy, we're connected to life, and separation comes. Instead of walking around the earth as the body of Christ being love, we're still walking around as the body of Christ trying to get love. Which simply reveals that we're not always abiding in the vine we're supposed to be abiding in. The Christian life cannot be, please love me, please accept me, please fill me, please fulfill me, somebody help me out. Because Jesus said himself, I am the only bread that satisfies. If you'll eat of me, you'll never hunger again. Amen. Yes. So you're a Christian to express the life and love of God. Not to roam the earth trying to get everything to work for you so you can be happy. He's just lifting us out of that self-centeredness. God's trying to bring us out of survival mode. Trying to look to all these other things. No longer will we let people and circumstances talk us out of the truth of who we are. We're not going to be subject anymore. We're going to feed on Him. And then no longer will we be easily ruled by things that aren't a reflection of who we are. Jeremy, you guys can go ahead and come. God's lifting us out of this idea that I'm only as good as what I'm going through. Why do you think that you're only as good as what you're going through instead of you're as good as what He went through? You're as good as what He went through. That's your real value. That's your worth. And don't we all get tired of succumbing to things and circumstances and other people's opinion that have nothing to do with the truth? They have nothing to do with the truth of our actual value, identity, and validity in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be ruled by things of the world anymore. I want to feed on Him and feed on Him and feed on Him, especially if we are what we eat. Let's make this summer a summer of devotion to Him and His life. And as I told you last week, allow Him to speak to you. I'm not going to be your Holy Spirit. If there's things that He shows you that you're plugged into in the natural that aren't productive for you, lay those things down. Say, Lord, I want to cut off that. I want to feed on You. Will you stand with me? We were never created to need love from the world. We're created to be love to the world. I want to say that again. You weren't created to need love from everybody else. You're created to be love. And if you'll rest in the finished work of Christ, you'll be transformed. And be like, you know what? I am love. I'm filled with the love of God now. I'm equipped to be a blessing. I don't have to sit around waiting on lunch to be ready. I can be a blessing. And whether I get lunch or I don't before I go to Dunkin', I'll show up in Dunkin' and say, I have food which you know not of. Invincible. Invincible. We saw it in Christ. Where's Christ now? He's in you. His life is in you. He who has the Son has the life. Amen. Will you open your hands? Oh, Father God. Father God. Father God. We love You. And we open our hearts to You. We do. We are tired of being ruled by things that have nothing to do with the truth. I'm tired of being undone by the hands or the actions or the opinions of other people. Lord, You are equipping this body. You are calling us out. This is no series. This is a move of Your Spirit in this house that I believe wants to bleed out all over this region. So with our hands open, our hearts open, and our minds set on You, Lord, thank You for this anointing of invincibility, and thank You for the quickening of the Holy Spirit, who reminds us every day who we really are, what we really have, and what we can really do and accomplish. Lift up the name of the God who saved.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.